This is a free recording by Cambridge Qutbus, etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه المصير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فهو الرحمة المهدى والنعمة المسدى والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم قال ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a very famous ayah, and remember when your Lord took the descendants of Adam from their backs, took their seed, and caused them to bear witness upon themselves, saying, am I not your Lord? And they all said, yes, we bear witness. That was lest you should say, on the day of arising, of this we were heedless. The famous ayah, and it's clearly about the mithaq, the covenant. It's a reminder that everything else in the life of the believer should be a reminder. We say, when we speak about the next world, not that it is something new, but that it is a return. We speak of the masir, or the ma'ad. The akhirah is our place of return. We began our very first moment of consciousness with proclaiming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His existence, His unity, His beautiful qualities. That was the first thing that we knew, and that is at the basis of our fitrah. We all said, every human being, bala shahidna, yes, we bear witness. So the world is about remembering and forgetting. Those are the two great poles of the human condition. Sometimes we remember, and sometimes we forget. This is one of the meanings of the Hajj. The Hajj is an outward journey that if we approach it following the right rules of Sharia and with purity in our hearts as well as upon our bodies, is a journey to what lies within. It is an inward journey. We spiral into that which is beyond the possibility of human speech. That which is the Ruh, which is min amri rabbi, of the affair of my Lord. And the basic watchword of the Hajj is, of course, labbaik, at your service, which is really an echo of the original statement, bala shahidna, yes, we bear witness. Our original state is not one of belief, it is of witnessing. That's why we speak of the shahada. It is to bear witness to something. However dimly we may appreciate it, in this world we are bearing witness. Not just expressing a view or a belief or a theory, we are bearing witness. We are some way towards this maqama mushahada, the degree of witnessing. So the Hajj is about spiraling in towards meaning, towards the Kaaba, one of whose meanings surely is the beyond, the unknowable, the event horizon, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, represented symbolically on earth by this place that seems to be beneath Bayt al-Ma'mur. It is about annihilation, nothingness, fana'. Kullu man 'alayha fan. That's the verse that we should remember when we approach Allah's house. Everything that is upon it shall pass away. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And there remains only the face of your Lord possessed of majesty and bounty. As you approach Allah's house, you start to feel the haybah, the grandeur, the magnificence of the divine glory. In the city of Medina, you may feel something of the divine beauty. In the city of Mecca, however, you feel the divine tremendousness and glory of his unknowable, absolute izzah and his tanzih. So that is one of the meanings of the Hajj, and one of the miracles of religion is that it brings about a transformation within us without us exactly seeing what happens and knowing how it happens. The Hajj looks like a set of mysteries. We look back on it, having returned to our homes, and we think, formerly, what was that about? Not like anything else in our ibadah, the sa'i and the tawaf and the wukuf and the ramyul hajarat, and all of those things are only on the Hajj. When the Muslims do them, it's as if they've been doing them for all of their lives. It's natural to us, but it is different. And what could it all mean? Well, the meaning has not been given us to know, except through experience. We know, when we come back from the Hajj, if it is, inshallah, by Allah's leave, not through our good performance, but by his leave, a Hajj mabrur, because of the transformation that it brings about in us. Ibadah is not just for the moment, it is for its aftermath. After a good prayer, we feel different, and we want that time to last as long as possible. After Ramadan, we feel different, and we want that mood to continue. And similarly, with the Hajj, we want this ibadat al-umr, this worship of one's lifetime, one only needs to do it once, to last until the day that we die, when we reach the ma'ad, when we actually see the reality that we have, as it were, anticipated on Arafat. The anticipation of the mahshar, the gathering of all humanity beneath the enormous and absolute gaze of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That anticipation of it that we taste on Arafat is what we genuinely see and really see in reality, haqqan, after we die. And we want that period between our Hajj and our return from Hajj and our last day to be filled with something unique and special that the Hajj has equipped us with. But exactly what it is probably beyond our capacity to put into words. But it does have something to do with shahada, witnessing. How can we witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is the absolute and we are so finite? When we only have our poor, weak, declining senses and he is Rabbul Alameen, how can we have mushahada of the Lord of the world? We can't in that sense. What we can have, however, in this life is bearing witness to what he is. And that witnessing may be not just with the mind but with the heart. And it may be primarily with the heart. And as we circle the Kaaba, and as we stand on Arafat in particular, there is a witnessing of the heart that will, inshallah, by Allah's grace, stay with us. The labbaik is like what a slave says to his master. The labbaik is like what a servant says to the king. Here I am at your service. You recognize, through mushahada, the true relationship that exists between you as servant and your Lord, as the one who is alone to be served and worshipped. You bear witness to that, and what can you say other than, labbaik, here I am at your service, do with me as you will, which is the essence of Islam itself. There's something profoundly talbiyah-like about everything in the religion. And the famous last ayah of the Qur'an that comes on the day of Arafat, according to the narration of Ibn Umar, is Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Asmamtu Alaykum Ni'amati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islami Deena. On this day, I have completed your religion for you, and I have perfected my blessing upon you, and I have been pleased with Islam as your religion. Umar, radiallahu anhu, says this came on two great Eids. It came on the day of Arafat and it was the Yawm al-Jumu'ah. That was when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received this ayah, which was the last ayah to be received of the Holy Quran according to his riwayat. The perfection of Islam in our lives is if we have a good Arafat or not. People never return from a good Arafat untransformed. And the completion of Islam was with the final revelation, which was on the plain of Arafat. But arafa is what? It's about knowing. And the talbiyah, which is our repetition of the bala shahidna, is something that should stay with us. We get off the plane at Heathrow or wherever it is, and we get back into our old habits, good habits and bad habits. But something of the fragrance of the Kaaba needs to remain with us. And inshallah it does. Even if we don't make much use of it. Even if it's something that is a great opportunity that we don't use, still there is a softness in the heart that will abide. At your service, Allah. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. That's the message of all of Islam. And this bearing witness is something to do with that first experience. When the souls, before having bodies, all said, Bala shahidna, yes, we bear witness, we testify. We are in a mushahada because we can see you. There was nothing else. There was the souls and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the view of most of the mufassirun, that's all that existed at that time. That's our natural state, to say, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. And the Hajj is a way of reminding us of that in this beautiful, mysterious, powerful, emotional, subtle, spiritual way. There's an interesting saying about this that comes from Sayyidina Omar, radiallahu anhu, which is to do with another of those mysteries of the Hajj, which is unlike anything else in the religion, the black stone. The black stone is placed in the eastern corner, which is, according to all of the ulama, the most blessed corner of the Kaaba, and therefore the most blessed point on earth. And it's a stone. And what is it? What is it for? What does it do? كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبله كثيرا. The Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to kiss it frequently. فقبله عمر. And Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه also kissed it. وقال إني أعلم أنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع. And he says to the stone, I know that you're just a stone. You can't help me. You can't harm me. ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلت. And but for the fact that I saw Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم kissing you, I wouldn't kiss you. ثم بكى حتى على نفيه. And then he wept until his sobbing was audible. And the commentators say this is because at that moment he realized his loss that the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was no more. And فالتفت فرأى عليا كرم الله وجهه. And he turned away and he saw Ali كرم الله وجهه. فقال يا أبا الحسن هنا تسكب العبرات وترفع الدعوات. And he said, O Abu al-Hasan, this is the place where tears fall and prayers ascend. فقال يا أمير المؤمنين. And he said, O Prince of Believers, you know, Umar is the Khalifa at this time. بَلْ يَضُرُّ وَيَنْفَعُ. It does bring harm and it does bring benefit. قَالَ وَكَيْفَ. And he said, how? قَالَ لَمَّا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ عَلَى ذُرِّيَّةِ الْمِيثَاقِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from all the descendants of Adam, كَتَبَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا. He wrote this in an inscription. فَأَلْقَمَهُ الْحَجَرُ. And he fed it to the stone. فَهُوَ يَشْهَدُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ بِالْوَفَاءِ وَيَشْهَدُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ بِالْجُحُودِ. And it bear witnesses to the believers' fidelity, and it bears witness to the rejection that is in the heart of the unbeliever. And there are many other sayings from the Sahaba which attribute the same quality to the Hajar. This isn't in the Hadith, but it is the view of Sayyidina Ali and many of the Sahaba, that this black stone has something to do with the covenant itself. That there is within it, in some mysterious way that our minds can't fathom, a reminder of that first moment. Hence the hadith, which is a sound hadith, Al-Hajaru yaminu Allahi fi ardin. The black stone is Allah's right hand on earth. What is the right hand? In a feudal system, there is the king to whom you owe your allegiance and your fealty, and his right hand is what you kiss in order to indicate that you are his servant and that you will uphold his commands. And this is what we do. When we kiss the black stone, when we point to the black stone, we salute the black stone, what we are doing is saying, Labbaik, at your service. No one else is worth serving, you alone. It is the ultimate symbol of tawheed, and practical tawheed, because we're not saying, La ilaha illallah, without implications. We are saying, at your service, I want to act, to dedicate my life to this fact, to this witnessing, and the consequence is therefore the second witnessing, shahada, which is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is how we serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not through following anybody else, some philosopher, some social scientist, some artist, no, through following the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone, he for whom on Arafat the religion was completed. So it's a blessed place, and it's full of mystery. And we know that there is something of paradise about the black stone and about that place. Yaqutatun min yawaqitil jannah. There's a cluster of hadiths here. One of them says the black stone is one of the rubies of paradise. And another says, which is the sounder hadith, al-rukna wal-maqam yaqutatan min yawaqitil jannah. That's a hadith in Tirmidhi. It's a sound hadith that the corner and the maqam are two rubies, sacred, bejeweled places of paradise. And the rukn here means the eastern corner, a rukn al-sharqi, and therefore the black stone. And the maqam is the place where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam stood with Ismail as they directed the construction of Allah's house. So there is something extraordinary about it. And ours is the religion of tanzih. Ours is not the religion of objects and conjuring with things. Ours is the religion of saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is munazzah, laysa kamithlihi shay'. But he has set in this world certain signs which activate certain deep switches within our heart that enable us to start witnessing. Not just to start chattering and to start talking, because who knows what egotism might be at the basis of our motivation, even for saying la ilaha illallah. How often do we say that with real ikhlas rather than because it pleases our self-image to say that, or it pleases somebody else to say that, or for whatever reason? How many times is that 100% rather than 99% sincere? We don't know. But when it becomes a matter of witnessing, when the heart is saying La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, rather than just the mind, that's when we start to benefit from the meaning of the hadith, and when its mysterious work has actually put down very deep roots into our souls and turned us into something genuinely different. And so often, alhamdulillah, you see people going on Hajj and they're worried about what to put in their suitcases, and they come back and all they do is talk about Allah. I did a radio interview on the Hajj with a non-Muslim female journalist about 5 years ago, and I asked her, how did you get into this subject because you're not a religion journalist? And she said, I was changing planes recently in Athens airport, and I saw this woman who, I don't know who she wasn't wearing a hijab or anything, but she was so calm and had a kind of light in her face. And I wanted to know who she was. So I got talking to her and I found that she was just coming back from the Hajj. And I thought, I want to do a program about the Hajj. And I don't know if the woman took Shahada or what was her outcome, but we've all had that experience. The Hajj has this gigantic impact on our souls. So we come back from the Hajj, but we are transformed, and we have to look at how we've been transformed and make sure that we keep that atmosphere. Don't let the perfume of the Haram leave, because it's the purest perfume that you will detect this side of paradise. And if we haven't been there, we need to have this shelf. We see people coming back, we see their faces, we see how they are now with their relatives, and we want that experience for ourselves. Not to leave it until the time when we're retired, but to make the intention, inshallah, with Allah's permission, to pay off our debts and to do it as soon as possible. Because we all want to have a long period between that ibadat al-umr, that worship of the lifetime, and the time when the angel comes to take our soul. We want a long time in which we've completed this pillar of our religion, so that inshallah we will be able to say with a bit more awareness, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا واعف عنا وقل لنا حيث كنا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام أمتنا على دين الإسلام ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون